Hey, you. Yeah, you, right there. I'm going to need you to stop what you're doing right now and tune in to the Think Loud Crew podcast. It's Cheyenne,
Arkyle Lynn,
and Shannon.
We are the Think Loud Crew, aka your favorite moms, keeping it transparent, raw, and always real. On the Think Loud Crew podcast, we talk about everything from parenting to sex
and even our WTF moments of our daily lives.
Featuring guests from different generations and walks of life, no topic is off the table. Remember, this is a judgment-free zone where no mom shaming is allowed.
If you're looking for a dose of real life and giggle-worthy conversations, Think Loud Crew podcast is for you. So pause the show you're listening to right now and go subscribe to the Think Loud Crew for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Motherhood isn't always picture perfect, and we are three moms just trying to figure it out together. Let's get real with
Think Loud Crew.
Hey everybody, it's Bob Saget here, and yes, that's my name. I didn't choose it. It's not a showbiz name. That's my name. And this is Bob Saget's Here For You, and you know that because I am. And I'm really enjoying doing this. I could do this all the time. In fact, I do. And a lot of people need somebody to talk to. I do. I could talk nonstop, which I do. Some of these episodes are just reflections and me telling a story or just, I don't know, just going how I'm feeling right now. I'm feeling pretty good right now. I'm just at home. My wife's way far away because the house is just gigantic. That's just I'm just screwing around. You know, it's a tenement. We live in one of those pods from that wonderful show, Love is Blind. That's how we live. And we talk through a wall. I've been reaching out sometimes on some of these episodes, calling people, see how they're doing. They have questions. They were able to call in. If you look at the top of the thing, of the description of this, it's got a phone number. You can call that number, and I'll post on Twitter and Instagram when I'm going to be holding these sessions, because I'm your therapist, and talk to people, because I really... I've always loved doing that. There's many things I love. Love my wife. I love my kids. I love small animals, really small ones that you can't find. And I love when people band together and think of positive things. And so that's something I look forward to, is watching us get through this difficult time and coming out the other side, which we all will. We all will. So I'm going to give a call now to somebody named... This person has no name, but they left their number. And we'll see if they answer.
Hello?
Hi, it's Bob Saget here. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
I'm good. You left a message today, did you not, on the voicemail?
I did, sir, yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. What's your name?
My name's Colin.
Hi, Colin. How's it going? How are you holding up?
Well, I'm shut in at
the
moment.
Yeah. And where are you? What city?
Portland, Indiana.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. There's a lot of Portlands.
So.
Well.
Yeah, you know, and we're not high up on the list up.
No. It's really on the East Coast, on the West Coast, and then there's probably others. But, and there's no ports there. That's the other thing, because you would think that's how they named them.
No water within many miles. No.
So Colin, what's going on now? Are you on your own, or are you with family or someone else?
I'm with family. I had to come home from college, actually.
So you were able to come home and take a flight before all this, happened.
Yep, they sent me home. So
that's good. And how's everybody doing? Is everybody in good health?
Everybody is in good health. as of the moment, my part-time job, they sent me home there, but they are giving me 2 weeks pay, so that's nice.
That's really nice, because some people are just getting fired. That's cool. And what is the part-time job, if I could ask?
Oh, Dick's Sporting Goods.
Oh, that's cool. Do you think we can get them to change their names? I'm worried about them.
Would you prefer Richard?
Richard would be better, or penises.
Well, you know, when I tell people where I work, you know, they give me a funny look.
Yeah, right? Where do you work? I work at Dick's.
I say, well, yeah.
But
you know, and I say, well, you know, I've got a girlfriend, I swear. I mean,
well, it doesn't mean anything of sexuality. It's just, it could also mean that guy's a real, you know, he's a dick, people would say. But it's a big company, and I go there. I actually go to that store, and I buy, like, you know,
you
sweats and stuff, and if I need tennis balls, because you can always get balls at Dick's. You know, Dick's has a huge inventory of all kinds of balls. They got basketballs, volleyballs. I don't think they have ping pong balls, do they?
They do. They do.
Really?
They do. Yeah, they're the smallest balls we got.
They're the smallest. Now, so is Dick's known for balls?
No, I think they're more known for the store size. It was very girthy. This is just penis talk. I don't know what's going on here.
No, it's my fault. You knew it was me calling you, so you knew something bad could happen.
I did not have a problem with it at all.
Oh, good. I don't want to offend you. And I just want to...
I'm very offended. I'm going to call someone about this. You're already on Twitter. Yeah, I've already...
Call the authorities, because they can't come to see you right now. You go report it. It's the perfect time for me to make crank phone calls, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's going to be all over. Bob Saget offends young teens.
Won't be the first time. It's just my specials are out there. So what was your question? What did you want to talk about on your voicemail?
Well, I'm kind of in a weird obsession with Norm MacDonald at the moment.
So am I.
And
no, I really am. We've been talking a lot because we want to do something together. And I've been talking to him quite a bit. And he has been pretty brilliant, has he not, in the stuff he's been posting?
His Twitter Live, the debates, and all of his weird prose.
Yeah,
and poetry.
It's been really interesting. And on Instagram, he had his mom there for a while, and then she had to go home when this whole mess started.
Uh-huh.
But he is one of the smartest people that I know, and a very unusual, hilarious guy. So so you knew that I was a Norm MacDonald source, kind of, right?
Yeah. I don't mean to like say, hey, Bob Saget, let me talk to you. But also let me ask you about somebody else, you know, that's kind of like whatever, but yeah. I rewatched a bunch of his late night appearances, obviously him talking about Letterman and as well as he had the internet show for a while, which I believe you appeared on.
Yeah, I did. And he said things to me and I couldn't believe he was saying them to me. It was
that little smirk. He looks at you and says it. And
yep. He goes, I can't even repeat what he said. I mean, our Dick's Sporting Goods stuff had nothing to do with that. It was unbelievable.
No, yeah.
And then I'd hang out with, you know, Rodney Dangerfield. Then I'd want to be a very confused.
I was actually thinking about, if I had to ask about somebody else. I really do love Rodney and his style and his, you know, 5 minutes. You fit 30 jokes in 5 minutes.
That was his goal.
I
was close with him. I mean, he put me on the Young Comedian special on HBO, the first one he ever hosted. And that was the one Sam Kennison was on. And I introduced him to Sam Kennison. That's how old I am.
Oh, yeah?
And Rodney, I actually officiated his funeral. So it was like we were close. And he would say,
wow.
He would say, just have 50 kilominutes, man. That's it. You don't need to do longer than that. Just do 50 kilominutes. And that's kind of the goal of these episodes is to do 50, but I seem to talk too long. But Rodney didn't get his first movie till he was 58, and it was Caddyshack, which he's unbelievable in it. Wouldn't you agree?
I do. I like Caddyshack, and Bill Murray's obviously really good. Do you think that affected him at all, hitting so late? Was there any like resentment?
He had three names in show business. He was Jacob Cohen, and then he was Jack Roy, and then he was Rodney Dangerfield. And a guy just said to him, some club owner just said, "You're going to be Rodney Dangerfield, okay, man?" And then he went and became that name. But yeah, the get no respect thing was real. He didn't get any, but he had a comedic mind, and he knew how to write a joke like nobody's business. And he would be clean on all the talk shows and on Ed Sullivan when he was a younger man, and on Johnny Carson and all the shows. But when he was doing his stand-up, he'd be pretty blue, you know? He'd be pretty much an R-rated act, and it was hilarious. I mean, he was really kind to me. And I have many, many stories about him, but he really didn't feel like he got respect at all. And I have an offensive story.
No respect at all.
No respect, man, I'll tell you. And he would say that doing stand-up was like the way he was treated by people. He said, "You do stand-up like you're trying to get out of Nazi Germany during World War II, and you do 6 minutes for the border guard, and if you make him laugh, he lets you go. Otherwise, they shoot you dead." And that's how he looked at it. "You got to have a tight 6 minutes, man, or they'll kill you." And that's how he was... He was hilarious, and he made me laugh really hard. I have a dirty story, if you want to hear it, a true story about Rodney.
Bring it on.
All right. Rodney was friends with Ron Jeremy, the porno actor. And that's a man that apparently can
suck his own penis?
Yes, he can, like a roly-poly ball. He can go down on himself, which if you're 15 right now, turn this off. Too late. But he...
I'm 19, but okay.
That I feel better now. But yeah, so that was a thing this guy could do. And you know, I don't recommend it for anybody because, you know, unless you want to be used as a spare tire, just roll down the street. But Rodney, I was supposed to have dinner with him, and I came over to his place at 7 o'clock to pick him up. And he said, "Bob, you didn't call to confirm, man. You didn't call." And I went, "Well, Rodney, we had dinner plans, and I was going to take him." And he said, "I got Ron Jeremy coming up here with two hookers, and I got to have him sign this release for his book." And I looked at the release, and it was like one sentence. I Ron Jeremy, agree to be in Rodney Dangerfield's book. And I'm like, he says, "You want to hang out, man? You can hang out with me and Ron and the hookers." And I'm like, no, I think I'm gonna take off, Rodney. I'm sorry. And he walks me to the elevator. He had an elevator that took you right to his condo in this beautiful building. And he had just had chest surgery. They took all my guts out, man. They laid him out and they put them all back in. So he had a giant cut, huge, down his entire abdomen. And he also walked around in a robe with no underwear. So he always had his balls hanging out. And I walk him to the elevator, and I said, "Rodney, I see the scar," and I go, "I'm sorry, I just don't want to be in that company tonight. I just wanted to be with you." He said, "It's okay, man." And I looked at the scar, and I said, "Rodney, how are you doing?" And he goes, "How am I doing? You want to know how I'm doing? I'll tell you how I'm doing. You're leaving, and I'm waiting for a guy that can suck his own cock. That's how I'm doing." And I just hit the floor because it was pure Rodney. It was not an act. You know, he was saying, "Yeah, I got no respect. This is who I'm hanging with. And this is the guy I'm waiting for. And a guy that I like that isn't a porn actor that does that is leaving. So I should have called to confirm just to keep him from getting some infection or something." But
with an open wound like that around Ron Jeremy, you never know what might. I mean, exactly. Person contact.
And it was a closed scar, but I believe that something off of Ron could have gotten in there, like a little tick or something. And now here we are.
A tick.
But
a penis tick?
No, a tick. Like a little tick, like a little bug. Like a tick.
Yeah, I know. It sucks blood, but I just can't imagine one on a...
Well, you're bringing it around to my kind of comedy, which is really difficult because you know, a dick, a suck his own tick, it's very confusing. I don't know whether we're doing penis jokes or insects that can actually, a tick does not suck his own blood, by the way. He sucks other things' blood. Like, do you have a dog?
Oh, yeah. I've had them in my head before, my hair, not in my head. That'd be bad.
Well, like camp and stuff? Did you do that where you get them?
Yeah.
Yeah, my kids had that, and you have to put that shampoo on them. And then if you're putting shampoo on your kid's head and they have ticks in their head, then you go, why did I have kids? That's just enough. That's not true. I actually, getting them out is hard. You actually got to pull them out. With a dog, if you pull out half of it, you got to have it done by a professional, because they got to make sure they get the whole damn thing. Because some people are out there right now and they're holed up in their house with their dog and maybe somebody else, maybe their family or maybe just their dog, and the dog's got ticks. And I'm just saying they should watch some YouTube video of how to get them out right, because you don't want to leave half a tick inside anything. And that's, I said tick. Uh-huh. You don't want to put half of your tick inside anything.
Does it count if there's only half a tick?
It's okay, as long as someone's getting pleasure. I mean, you know, okay. I mean, half a tick is better than no tick, you know.
I've gotten into long conversations of whether, you know, just the tick counts.
Well, just the tip of the tick.
Okay.
that would, I don't know. There's TikTok. Never mind. I can't come up with anything. I really appreciate you calling. You're a good guy. You're 19 and you sound like you know a lot more than most, I hate to say millennials today, but you sound like you're doing the right thing, you know, and being safe.
Well, I appreciate that. It was pretty interesting getting a call from, hi, this is Bob Saget. I was like, oh, this is a recording. And then, no, you're actually responding like a human being.
Yeah.
And so that was it. I really appreciate it.
I try to be one of those. I appreciate it too. And I appreciate you calling it. And I enjoy talking with you. Thank you very much.
You're very interesting. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks.
Be safe. You know, you're in the high risk area, so.
Nah, not me. Not me. I'm much younger genetically for some reason. I don't know. I really do have the body of a 40-year-old woman. So, that's my wife. Sorry.
Okay.
Got confused. But thanks a lot, man. And take care and my best to your family and all that.
You too, sir. Good. Appreciate it.
Stay safe. Thanks, man.
Have a nice night.
You too.
Bye.
Has there ever been a year we're more excited for the holidays? Don't wait until the last minute, guys. Plan ahead and surprise her with something unexpected. Imagine her face when you hand her a Shane Company box tied with a burgundy bow. Does she already have a pair of stud earrings from Shane Company? Diamond, ruby, or sapphire? Trade them in for a larger size and only pay the difference from what you originally paid. Or maybe you got her engagement ring when you were young and just starting out. How about surprising her with a larger diamond? Or perhaps an exciting new diamond shape? You can upgrade her engagement ring at any time, and you'll get full credit for your original center stone. Just pay the difference. Shane Company has the best upgrade policy in the business. If you're not sure where to start, make an appointment and we'll help you out. Surprise her with an upgrade this holiday and leave her speechless.
Now you have a friend in the jewelry business, Shane Company and ShaneCo.com.
I am right now going to call Sarah. And let's see if she answers the phone. It's getting a little late where I'm at right now. Well, I'm not late, but it might be late in this area code. I hope it's in the country of the U.S. I would love to talk to people from outside of the U.S. So if you live in anywhere, Australia, England, I'd love to hear from you. So that's a number you can call. It's up there on the menu, up on the top thing. The menu? No, in the description. That's what it is. All right. I'm trying Sarah right now. See if Sarah answers her phone.
Hello.
Hi, Sarah. It's Bob Saget here. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for leaving a message and wanting to talk to me. Is it too late to be calling you right now?
Yeah, thanks for calling me
back. Oh, absolutely. Well, where are you right now? What city?
I am in Las Vegas.
Oh, wow. And
which is where I live, not where I'm visiting.
I got it. And so How are things going? Are you safe? Is everything okay?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm a teacher, so it's kind of crazy right now, like being away from my students and just wondering kind of what's going to happen next with the school year. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm here. My wife and I are in the house, and pretty much that's where we stay.
Got it.
And we're getting along well, and I'm watching reality shows I never thought I would watch in my life. So it's kind of a different...
Yeah, I don't usually get a chance to watch TV or movies, and I am just watching Veronica Mars for the first time, which is a crazy show, it turns out.
It is. I've seen it. It's weird because it's stuff we would never be doing with a normal life, but with this not normal existence, where I'm finding myself talking to people more that I haven't talked to. It's a whole day of between cleaning. I mean, I've turned into Danny Tanner. I'm sanitizing everything all the time.
Everything is very clean in your house. Huh?
Oh my gosh. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, I'm talking to Bob Saget on the phone right now, which is not something that I usually do on a normal day.
Well, that's an honor. Thank you. So you're a school teacher. What grades do you teach?
I am a high school English teacher, and I primarily teach freshmen, and I'm also the yearbook teacher.
Oh, man. You were like the hero for me. My English teachers, I moved a lot, and I had one English teacher that was mean to me, and rightfully so, because I was supposed to read the Odyssey, and I made an 8mm claymation movie instead, and then I wrote a report on it, but I didn't read it, and I made up what it was about. And I said, and then, you know, the Cyclops.
And that was before you could just Google what it was about.
Exactly. There was no, yeah, I needed an encyclopedia and I didn't look it up. I just made up what the Odyssey was about and did a claymation cartoon of Ulysses hitting the Cyclops in the eye. It was horrific.
You know, I have to be honest, like if one of my kids did that, I would kind of respect it. Like if you're gonna go for it, you got to go all the way.
Right, but she didn't. She gave me a D minus. She gave me a D minus and said, "You are my student, not my entertainer." So it's fascinating to me. I would love to talk to her now. Her name was Mrs. Lang in Norfolk, Virginia, and I had to make up 2 years of English in 1 year because I'd moved from California to Philadelphia to Abington, and. It was pretty upsetting, but saying you're not my entertainer, I was going to be pre-med. I had no intention of going into comedy or show business or anything. So it was like, and then I had another teacher that was an English teacher who changed my life. And she said, don't be a doctor, be a comedian or go into show business. Cause I used to write songs and I would make movies. And so the joke is that she saved thousands of lives, which is the truth. And her name was Mrs. Zimmerman, and she gave me like Moby Dick to read. And you can relate to all this, right? This is like what you do, right?
I mean, I've never given one of my kids Moby Dick to read. Otherwise, yes, the whole like inspiring and changing life thing, that's definitely what I do.
Right, right. And then Moby Dick, I hated. I couldn't read it. I said, I can't read 4 pages about a knot. On a ship. I can't read about
it's also a really long book.
Yeah, that
like I can't imagine giving that book to someone unless I was like, you love reading more than anything in the world, so like here.
And we're and our generation right now wants 180 characters or less. They don't want to read 500 pages. But she gave me great.
Right, we're just finishing Lord of the Flies right now, and it has been a long couple of weeks.
Do they love it because it's pretty macabre?
My students, for the most part, have not loved it. No. I teach at a Title I school, which, if you or people don't know what that is, it's a low-income school. So all of our students at our school get free breakfast and free lunch. Almost entirely students of color at my school. And trying to convince them of the value of this book written by a British guy with a bunch of white kids on an island is like has been a struggle. But now that we're getting towards the end of the book, like, I think it's starting to pay off a little, like, when people start dying, you know, like, they're like, okay, all right, this is interesting. But the author spends like a large amount of time describing like trees.
Right.
Which is not the most fascinating thing to read if you're in freshman English.
And is that required that you have to give it to those students?
A lot of our curriculum is required. We have some say in what we do. I just joined the school this year. I just moved here from the Bay Area. And so I kind of was like, all right, like, let's do what you guys have always done. And I see the value in Lord of the Flies, if nothing else, because it's such a popular pop culture reference. Like,
right.
You hear they went Lord of the Flies on each other all the time, right? So if you haven't read the book, it's hard to understand what that reference means.
Well, it's very upset. It's an obviously upsetting thing. I mean, it's a tough story.
I mean, it's like, I don't know about you. I didn't read 1984 when I was in school until I was like in my mid-20s. I read it. And then I was like, oh, that's what they mean when they say Big Brother is watching you.
Like, yeah. And it kind of feels like
I had no idea that it was connected to a book.
And it almost feels like we're there right now in a way.
In a way, although I think if Big Brother had been watching, I think we would have been a little more prepared for everything that was going on.
That is true. But then there's Alexa, and Alexa's listening to us, and Siri's listening. I just know.
Alexa knew. Alexa was like trying to order tests for us, but unfortunately, I think our president was not in the loop. He was not listening to Alexa.
No. I wish he had one in his room. It'd be Big Sister is what it would be. That would change. We are in such an odd time that we've come so far and yet we've gone backwards so much. And then something like this corona thing happens, and there seems to be, with the good people I've been talking to, just more of an empathy for all people. And there is no, that people are people. Except for some people that have racist tendencies, which is
right,
not something we want.
Yeah, I think that disasters like this tend to bring out both the best and the worst in that regard, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think generally most of us are like, yes, I want to be there for people. I want to be there for my neighbors. I want to help each other out. But then you also have like, people are dying. Like, there are people out on the streets. There are people in overflow at the hospital. And the people that are going to be hardest hit are like our most low income Americans, right? Yeah. The people who don't have health care, my undocumented students who are afraid to go in for health care.
Yeah.
The poor are going to be the people who are hit the hardest, which is what always happens in a disaster. And it's sort of unfortunate that you can see the writing on the wall right now, but also what's really being done to prevent that.
And hasn't that always been the case also? I mean,
right.
It's always been that way. And in some ways it's gotten better, but not really. Not if you talk to people that are living it. And then someone like Tony Fauci, sure. Tony Fauci is a hero right now. And he was able to get the hundreds of millions of dollars by being a scientist that the government had to listen to because it's real.
Mm-hmm.
And most people, except for the kids partying in Miami still, believe that it's real. And we don't know where we are in the curve of this thing. We don't know. So we're just going to get through it. I know we're going to get through it. I bet you think we're going to get through it.
I just, being a teacher right now, thinking about the fact that like, even if 2% of our population dies, right? Like 2% is a huge number of people. So if 2% of Las Vegas dies and we go back to school in a month, like, 2%. I have 153 teachers who teach at our school. We have 3,000 kids at our school. So like, that's a couple of teachers maybe who have died. And like, how many of my students are going to have people in their family who have died? Like, that's a lot of trauma to come back from, like, not to mention just like the break in your regular schedule and your routines. And my seniors, right, who their senior year has been totally upended. It's just like so much to think about as a teacher. And I think people don't realize, maybe people do realize, that like, teachers are more than just standing at the front of the room giving instructions, but like, we're social workers, and sometimes we're sort of substitute parents, and you know, I'm communicating with my kids in all sorts of digital ways right now. Like, a lot of them follow me on Instagram, so I've been able to keep up with a lot of them there. But it's really scary to like, I'm not really prepared. I don't know how I'm gonna how I'm going to help all of them through all of that. Just like such uncharted waters.
You're doing a miracle job. It's both of my sisters were teachers, and the people that changed my life were teachers. And I besides my parents and a couple other really wonderful people that came into my life, but you're one of the great ones. I mean, the fact that you have these concerns and the fact that, I mean, it's more than any human can handle what you've got. And teachers are, of course, underpaid and, of course, underrecognized. And yet, you know, with all the debates, they were always brought up. We've got to help them. And where is the help? And hopefully we'll get there. Hopefully a lot of the stuff that has hurt our teachers and people. I mean, it's dare I say God's work. No matter whether people believe in God or not, it's a saintly thing you're doing. And if you can help a few people, that's as low as that sounds, it's a gift, you know? And we've all seen movies and read books about that. Have you tried other books? Have they been allowed to have Color Purple in there? Or if it has to be an older book, To Kill a Mockingbird, are those things that would maybe hit them more in the heart?
So we were actually really excited because I sort of had the idea for us to do this unit in quarter four where we were going to read two pretty new books that are both amazing and I highly recommend them. One is Long Way Down by Jason Reynolds.
I've heard of it,
and the other one is The Poet X by Elizabeth Acevedo. And both of them are written in verse and are about sort of young people of color and are both really, really powerful stories that deal with issues of identity like gender and sexuality and gun violence and poverty and immigration. And so we were going to read those and also do like a poetry unit where we were studying different types of poetry and having them sort of writing their own poetry with it. Like that's a unit we're going to do in the future.
Right.
It'll be next year. But yeah, I used to teach middle school. So I taught middle school for the last 5 years in California and then moved to high school this year. So at middle school level, you get a lot more, at least at most schools, you get a lot more power over what you teach because there's no real such thing as credit in middle school, right? So it's less of like, this is the curriculum that has to be delivered to students. And especially at my school, we were a turnaround school, the one that I'm at right now, meaning that like we were, so 6 years ago, we had a 40% graduation rate at our high school. Last year, it got up to 90%. So like huge gains have been made, but one of the requirements of the state, if you are a turnaround school, is that you have like a standardized curriculum. So you like pay a company for their curriculum and you like have to deliver that curriculum kind of as written.
Mm-hmm.
Which I understand because a lot of the time if you're a failing school, you also have a lot of brand new teachers who kind of cycle in and out of your school and who are not that great at creating curriculum or like are not having high enough standards. That's the thing that happens a lot for low income students is that teachers think, oh, well, they can't handle this or they're not at this level. And so they lower expectations for students. And what I know about my kids is that kids will rise to meet the standards that you give to them. Right. So if you have high expectations for your kids, like they will meet them. If you have low expectations, like that's what they're going to meet.
Right.
And so it's understandable why we have these kinds of curriculums. And I think that I have an awesome administration at my school who's giving us more freedom to explore things and add on to what we have. And it's a slow process, right? Like schools change slowly over time.
Yeah.
So you can't expect to come in 1 year and just like overhaul the whole system. Like reality is not dead poet society.
And what's the reward when you've had cases where you'll look into a kid's eyes and you'll see a transformation. I'm sure that's happened. Isn't that one of the most rewarding things you could feel as a teacher?
Yeah, actually. So I was a career changer. I worked in politics for 10 years before I became a teacher. I taught, like I said, I taught middle school at first.
Right.
And so my first years of seventh graders are currently seniors. And so yesterday, actually, one of my former students, and I keep in contact with a lot of my former students, and she called me because she's hitting her college admissions right now and wanted to talk over one of the schools she's considering is my alma mater, which was East Santa Barbara. And so he called and we talked about college and life, and like we were on the phone for an hour and a half, and just like getting to see my kids grow up and go to college and make these decisions and become like awesome humans who are, you know, about to enter the adult world is really amazing. Like there's not really an explanation for how good you feel about that.
Right. That's so rewarding. That's so inspiring to hear. So that's the silver lining of just one person, but then you've got, I mean, 3,000 students at your school. That's like,
right. I currently teach 240 kids. I think that most of my kids probably know who you are. I know that my students in California were very into Full House last year. It was like a real renaissance that happened in the middle school grade, but like everyone was talking about Full House all the time. And not even the new version, like they were all watching all the old episodes on Netflix.
Yeah, people are doing that, right. So I think it's on Hulu.
I think that they'll think it's... Is that where it is?
Yeah, the original, the new ones.
Watching it.
Yeah, isn't that weird? It's so funny to me.
I was born in 84.
Me too.
So like I was a 90s kid.
Right.
And so it's funny to me now that like my students are like coming in quoting Full House stuff. My students at my high school, not as much, but my students back in California definitely were. And so I guess I was just sort of like, I know they'll think it's really cool. Is there anything that like you would want to pass on that I can like, I can post on Instagram and Google Classroom and like share with them of what your advice was or what you had to say to them?
You could tell them that, and it's the same thing that they hear from a lot of people that they think might be a load of crap. And I don't blame them because they're living in a life that is difficult. But they can make it. They can accomplish whatever they want to accomplish. They can really do it. They can come out of whatever difficult situation they're going through. I mean, look at what we're all going through right now. I mean, they're grounded at home. And if they're staying there, if they're able to, you know, there's issues with money and all those things. And how can they even think of college if there's no money? Well, they can do it. They could be so good that they could get a scholarship, or they could go to a college that's affordable, or maybe there will be more schools as life changes for them. But it's just, I came out of nothing. I was a deli clerk for 6 years while I went through, I did go to college, but I was a deli clerk. I can slice meat really good, and I can cut locks off a piece of salmon. But when I moved to LA, I had a single apartment I lived in, and then I just worked for years and worked as a stand-up and didn't even think I'd become one. It just happened when I was 17. I started doing it. And so they should really follow what they want to do, no matter what that is, no matter how far it seems impossible, no matter how they've been talked down that they can't do it, that they can, that they really, really can do it. And I know it, but I think, you know, the fear is also damaging. Being scared is a good thing to impart upon them, that fear, you know, it's the oldest cliche, but it is the enemy. It is, you know, there's nothing to fear, but fear itself. People don't want to hear that when they're having a hard time, when they feel like there's no way I'm going to make it. And they don't even get,
right.
They're not even scared. They just give up, and they're cynical and they're angry, and it's understandable. But I'm saying that I would then use as a second way to go that I just talked to the dad on Full House and say that he sends his.
If you're not inspired by that,
exactly. I would probably open with it. Say to the kids when you see them next, or if you say it on Instagram or wherever you're going to do. I talked to Bob Saget, who's Danny Tanner, and he wants you to know that you all can make it, and that all of you need to stay strong, and we'll get through this time together, and things will change, and you can change, and you can change your life, and you can make it what you want.
Yeah, I have to say that, like, from watching a lot of your comedy, this is not how I thought that you were, like a normal person.
Well, my stand-up is different, and it's funny. I was talking to somebody a few minutes ago, and we were talking about he works at a sporting goods store named Dick's. And so you can imagine where that conversation went. So this is completely, I'm kind of a chameleon. I'll go wherever the person I'm talking to goes. But
yeah, I mean, I talk to my kids about that a lot, right? It's code switching. I often tell my kids, I'm like, oh, I swear all the time at home, right? Like, I have a terrible mouth. And they're like, no, you don't. And I'm like, yeah, I do. But when I'm in a professional situation, when I'm with you guys, I turn it off, right? Like, I think about where I am and just trying to teach them that lesson, right? Of like, if you go in for a job interview, you're going to talk in a different way than you're going to talk with your friends. And like, when you're at school, this is how you should talk. Of course, most of them are so comfortable around me that they don't ever code switch around me.
Right.
But I'm constantly trying to teach them that lesson of like, you can turn it on and off when you go to different places.
My mom would always say there's a time and a place, but there never seemed to be a time and a place for the things I was saying. So, but it was my dad's fault. My dad had a weird, dirty sense of humor. So I'm kind of a mixed bag. I change constantly. I would never have kids at my shows. But then I've done shows for kids. I've performed at a lot of colleges and actually had an amazing time because I'm not an ageist. You know, I really, I understand people. And that's why I wanted to do this podcast. It was something where I got to communicate with people, have some guests on, just riff for a while about what's going on. And a lot of them are comedy oriented and then it might be bluer than others, some episodes, but it's just everybody, I've got so many different age groups that see me from so many different ways and I don't want to offend anybody, but the kids probably, a lot of people that watch Full House that grew up really appreciate my stand-up now. Because they're going like, wow, you know, they call it staying relevant.
Right, us millennials. I think it's like my age group especially that, you know, watched you as kids and then grew up in the age of Netflix and could watch your different stand-up specials.
And I'm working on new stuff that's not as blue. For some reason, I'm changing because I do look at myself as an artist of sorts. So, you know, you do what you do, and especially at a time like this, This is not normal. This is not what anybody has ever seen happen before in our lifetime.
Yeah.
So in any lifetime, but I'm sure it happened. I mean, when you know, polio came out, when before there were flu shots, you know, people were dying readily of pneumonia and stuff. So we're just babies and we're not there yet. But we're definitely moving forward, and this time will pass, and people will move forward. I just can't tell you how much I admire what you do. I am so glad I got to talk to you. Well, I had two sisters, and neither of them are alive anymore, and they were both teachers. And I have so many people that come up to me and talk to me about my sister, who would be 70 years old. No, sorry, she would be 73 now. And they say to me that your sister, her name is Gay, they say, your sister was the best teacher I ever had, and she was one of those teachers. And you're one of those teachers. You're one of those teachers that's up against it, and you want to do it. And that's inspiring. And people need to move things around and change where they rank teachers in terms of many things, in terms of pay, in terms of respect, in terms of protection, all kinds of stuff. So your students are really, really lucky, and I really appreciate you calling in. That's excuse me. It was an honor to talk to you, and I'm surprised that you called and left a message. So I'm glad
I saw it on Twitter. I was like, I've been on Twitter a lot more in the last couple of days than I have been in the past year.
A lot of people
just have been.
Because
I'm home, right?
Yeah, right.
And so I saw it and I thought, yeah, I would like to talk to Tom
Saget.
So I called and left a message.
That's so cool. That's so nice. Thank you. Well, I really, really enjoyed talking to you, and you'll be able to hear this very shortly. So I just can't thank you.
Well,
enough.
And then once all this is over, I would love to come see you when you come to Vegas next.
Definitely. When it's all over, I will be there, and then go to the security people and say it's Sarah from Bob's show and Bob's podcast, broadcast, whatever you want to call it, and come back and say hi for sure, please.
Awesome. I'll shoot you a message on Twitter too and let you know.
Perfect. I can't wait till I'm able to go out and do it again, and you're able to get back to doing what you do so well. So thank you so much.
Yeah, I think this is going to make all of us appreciate things a lot more.
I'm feeling it right now.
Appreciate the normalcy of our lives.
Yeah, I'm feeling it big time right now. So I just want to give back whatever I can that makes people feel good. So thank you so much. You're a real special person. Thank you, Sarah.
Yeah, thank you. And I hope you have a great night.
You too. Have a great one and be safe and all that stuff. And thanks again.
You too.
Okay.
Bye, Bob.
Bye-bye. Wow. All right. So I came out here to do a comedy show, to do an episode that had comedy in it. And then you talk to someone like Sarah, who's a school teacher, who's out there really helping people. And now she's not able to because everything is all whacked out because of what's going on in the world. And we just need a million Sarahs. We need so many of them. I'm really, really proud to be doing this and be able to talk to people like Sarah. And I just appreciate you all listening. So there's a couple things of business I have to tell you to do. You got to rate and review and subscribe. That's what you got to do. And subscribe to it so you can listen to it, and it'll always be different. Rate and review, you got to do that, but be positive. That's my blood type. And here I am just trying to get people to say nice shit about me. That's silly. Oh, well, what are you going to do? Anyway, thank you so much. It's been another episode of Bob Saget's Here For You, and I am. So I will catch you on the next episode, and everybody be well and stay safe. Thanks.